will tell us what will happen before the Lord Jesus' second coming. Tell us what will happen before Jesus' second coming. Knowing ahead of time what will happen is very important. For example, if I tell you what is the exam question is, you'll be prepared. Right? You won't be surprised. Right? If I don't tell you anything, and then they give you a tough test, everybody fail, I'm not happy too, right? Because my job is not to fail you. My job is to make sure you pass. So Lord Jesus Christ is saying, He'll give us a big test, the test of the end time. And the end time, the test will be the ultimate, most serious, most difficult test. Because if you live long enough to face the end time, we will be facing this test. But the problem is, if you fail this test, you cannot go to heaven. I mean, 1 hour later, if you fail this test, you'll not go down for lunch. Well, of course, you can go. But you have to retake it, right? But imagine if you fail the test of your faith, you lose eternal life. And nobody will pity for you. Nobody will cry for you except yourself will cry in hell. So we must pass this test. And this test is going to be tough in the end time. So what will happen? This means to give you a peek of what exam question will be. What kind of situation you may face so that you are prepared. So this is very important. The word revelation. Revelation, the word means uncover, unveil. Unveil or uncover. The word revelation means unveil or uncover. In Greek, the word is called apocalypse. I think in French, the Bible, right? It's called apocalypse. In English, I think it's spelled this way. A-O-L-E-S. Is it like that? E. Apocalypse. Of course, in French, yeah, the same. Apocalypse means unveil. Or uncover. You know, in Middle East, the woman, especially if they are already married, they have to put a veil. Especially Muslim today. In UK, you see some Muslim women too, eh? They wear the whole body black, and then they cover their hair and cover their mouth and the nose. You only see here. So, actually, you don't know this woman is beautiful, ugly or not, because they look the same with the veil, right? But in UK, opposite, right? People are so revealing. But what if you unveil it and you see, oh, this woman is beautiful or very ugly, right? You kind of know. So the future now is covered. You want to try unveil? So in future, the secret of the end time will be unveiled to us through the book of Revelation. For the unbeliever, the end time is very far away, or they don't even believe there will be an end time. But for us, we believed, and we know what is going to happen. The date of the book is around 95 AD. It's approaching the end of the first century, and once again, was written by Apostle John, who lived the longest among the 12. And he is the only one did not die a martyr death. He lived old enough to be in exile to a small island in the middle of the agency. Agency, so it's somewhere here, very near the coast, but actually not so near to swim across, right? So actually it's far from all major city, so he's very lonely there. The government exiled him because the government know that this apostle still have a very lot of influence on the Christian. But they didn't kill him. Well, why they didn't kill him? Because God still have something for him to do so that he didn't die as a martyr. Because God will give him the revelation in this lonely island. Nowadays, this island is still there, and it's a tourist attraction site. And they build a small chapel on this island to commemorate John, who was there and received the revelation. So maybe you can make this island your next holiday destination. Tell your mom, don't go to Hong Kong anymore, please. Don't go to Dubai, nothing to see, right? If your mom asks you, where do you want to go for vacation, tell them, I want to go to you. Turkey or Greece, join a tour including the old time, you know, the New Testament world. Nowadays there are some tour operator will bring you to visit all those sites like Corinth, Ephesus, Patmos, and of course Greece, Athens, all those places. If you really have chance to visit those places, you really enter, even though it's different time, but it's the same space at the New Testament well. Right? You don't really have to go far to Jerusalem to experience the Bible geography and time, right? Jerusalem is not safe right now. They are fighting. All the rockets flying everywhere. But this part of the world is still relatively safe. So, the background of the book, we have mentioned about it. The church has already been persecuted severely. So the purpose of the book have two. The first purpose is to encourage faith in tribulation. To encourage to have a strong faith in tribulation. Being a Christian is not easy as we can think of today. For you now, being a Christian is a privilege because you have peace, you have joy, you have Holy Spirit, you have the church to take care of you, you have so many brothers and sisters. We can go to YTTC in summer and you can hang out with church members. So for you, for us now, being a Christian is a blessing. But those times, being a Christian is a burden. Yes, we know that. They know that they have eternal life. But whatever they are receiving now is nothing to do with peace and joy outside. But rather, because of your faith, your house may be taken away from you. If you had a job, your boss will fire you because you're a Christian. They may take away your wife, take away your husband. They'll kill you. So there's nothing really joyful physically as a Christian. But the only hope is about eternal life, but they were not very sure. But through the book of Revelation, that John remind them, really, you have a better hope. You have a salvation waiting for you. And that glory is eternal. But how to overcome those trials? Need encouragement. And secondly, it tells us what will happen in the end time. John, when he wrote that, he didn't know that he was not in the end time, right? John never understand that, oh, there will be another 2,000 years before the true church will come again. He didn't know about that. He thought his era, maybe Jesus will come anytime. But that book is specific, not only for those generation, but our generation. Our generation now, we are living in the end chapter, the final chapter of salvation plan, salvation history. Because everything in the Bible has been fulfilled. Only the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ and all the related tribulation has not yet been fulfilled. So knowing what will happen sometimes is quite scary. But actually, after you've been scared, you'll be prepared. You say, okay, we have to go for this. But anyway, we have to go for this. So let's prepare. Let's get ourselves prepared before that day come. I have to build my faith. There'll be times there'll be no more regular church service. Sounds unimaginable, right? There'll be time that you cannot gather freely, even in your house, to service. There'll be time when you cannot even preach the gospel. There'll be time people kill you, arrest you, just because of your faith. Just like what I mentioned, in Iraq is already happening now. The ISIS, this is called the extremist group of the Muslim militants. They capture Christian, they capture the town, they kill the babies, behead the baby, hang it outside. Terrible. How can this happen in the future? In the past, nobody can imagine this can even happen. But now it is happening. So, we have to be prepared. The structure of the book, we can look at chapter 1, verse 19. Next. Okay, you can divide the book into three different sessions according to this verse. According to this verse, it says, now, therefore, you have to write down what you see. So the first part is, what you see. I don't write now because I just listen. The first part, what you have seen, is concerning the vision that John saw at the beginning, which is from chapter 1, verse 1 to 20. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 20. What he sees, what he have seen. Basically, chapter 1, what he have seen is the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. Because in this chapter, he saw the magnificent glory of Lord Jesus Christ appear to him in the form of the Son of Man. Chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Next. 12 to 13.
Then I turned to see the voice that spoke. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands.
13. He saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands, somebody like the Son of Man. So this is what he have seen. Those are the first part. Basically, the lampstands are the churches, and the Son of Man is Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the spiritual glory of Lord Jesus Christ. But also in this chapter, what he saw is not physical, but is spiritual. Verse 10. Next.
Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet.
Yeah. So in spirit, in the Lord's day, I'm moved by the Spirit to see all this vision. So what this vision he saw is in the Spirit. It's very special. So this also gives us a life application, right? We have to really see God's glory before we can enter all the tribulation. Why John can endure so much in his old age and never give up his faith? Because when he was young, he have seen Jesus' glory. When did he see Jesus' glory when he was young? In the mountain of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, three of them, were brought with Lord Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus' glory when he was young. And of course, when Jesus resurrected, he appeared to him, he saw Jesus' glory again. And now, in his old age, Once again, Jesus appeared to him in vision. He saw Jesus' glory. So when he was young, older, even very old, Jesus' glory is always in his mind. That's why he never forsake Jesus. Now, brother and sister, ask yourself, have you seen the glory of our Lord? Have you seen he have done great things on your life, on your family? Have you seen Lord Jesus Christ, glorious, splendorous image? Not necessarily in the form of a vision, but if you really know him, you see he's so glorious. So even in an island, this will not stop John from knowing Lord Jesus Christ and doing work for Lord Jesus. Even though he was isolated to the man of nowhere, you can call that place Patmos. It's a middle of nowhere, no man land. In Mandarin, it's called the place where even no bird leg is. But a spiritual man would not be limited by his situation. Write this down, very important. A spiritual man will not be limited by adversity he's facing. Even in an isolated island, John's spiritual vision allows him to see things very far, even in the future. Even he is in isolation, he is able to write to encourage many, many people from many generations to come. So I hope that if now you think that you are kind of in an island, or you think that you are in a very difficult situation, don't give up on yourself. Don't just complain. You can overcome it by the power of Lord Jesus Christ. The second section of the book, according to chapter 1, verse 19, is what is happening right now. Chapter 1, verse 19 says, the first session is what you have seen. The second session is what is happening right now. This session, the second session, what is happening now, is concerning the seven churches, which is from chapter 2, verse 1, to chapter 3, verse 22. So you can say, what is happening right now, chapter 2 and 3, concerning the seven churches. If you look at this map, it really indicated to you where are the seven churches. So once again, this part was called Asia Minor. This whole province in the Roman Empire was called the Asia Minor. So if you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it mentioned about the current situation about the churches. Laodicea, Philadelphia, Sardis, Thyatira, Iconium, Smyrna, and Ephesus. And John was here. Now I can say, John was in the island. He was not even allowed to travel. How did he know the current situation of the church? Because Holy Spirit revealed to him. The worker of God, filled with Holy Spirit, God can reveal to him the situation far away. He can see what people cannot see. He can see deeper. So, at that time, actually, there were more than seven churches in Asia Minor. But the Holy Spirit only picked these seven churches because they are representing seven kind of churches. It's the seven kind of different situation of the churches that were happening at that time. But more importantly, these seven churches is a prefiguration of the situation of the true church in the end time. That is very important. It's not only talking about the history of the past, because if it was talking about only what happened 2,000 years ago, it has nothing to do with us today. But these seven churches, the situation, is referring to end time true church. Before Lord Jesus Christ comes again, what will happen in the true church? What kind of problems will we be facing? What kind of weaknesses will we be having? What kind of challenges we have to overcome? So if you look at those seven churches and compare to us today, actually, it's quite fitting. Quite fitting. In these seven churches, only two churches were not rebuked by the Holy Spirit. The rest of the five churches, they were rebuked by the Holy Spirit harshly, because they face certain issues. First issue they were facing is false teaching. 2,000 years ago, the churches, they were already infiltrated or influenced by some kind of false teachings. Of course, they still hang on there, but showing signs of being influenced. The second problem the church facing was lacking of love. Just like the church in Ephesus. Holy Spirit tell them, you've forsaken your first love. You love me a lot, but you change. Your heart is no more the same. The third challenges they were facing is complacency. They feel very complacent. They are living a very highly material life, just like the church in Laodicea. They don't think that they have to improve in anything. They think they are rich, but actually, spiritually, they are quite poor. So look back 2,000 years ago, the church had the problem. Today, before Lord Jesus Christ coming, the majority of the true church member or the true churches will face these three challenges. Whether they are challenged by false teachings from within the church or outside, or living a too complacent life, lacking in the zealous of faith, or they are lacking of love. They are no more loving Lord Jesus Christ the same as before. So, among the seven churches, five of them were rebuked by the Holy Spirit. So in today, Holy Spirit may rebuke us the same thing if we do not repent. That doesn't necessarily refer to the whole churches, but can refer to seven different kind of members too. But the Holy Spirit only did not rebuke two churches. They behave very well. One is Philadelphia, that Holy Spirit commanded, and also among these churches, only two are good, huh? Philadelphia and Smyrna. The other five were bad. Bad means very weak. They need to repent. Otherwise, God will not take them. Philadelphia, very loving, very kind. Smyrna, physically very poor, but spiritually very faithful. So, by reading these seven churches, will give us reminder about our faith. Are we being rebuked by the Holy Spirit? If yes, we have to repent. If you are poor and suffering, but in God's eyes you'll be rich, you'll be like Smyrna or Philadelphia. In the structure of the book, the third part, if you turn back to chapter 1, verse 19. The third session of the book is what will come, what will happen. So once again, let me repeat the three structure of the book. What you have seen, what is happening now, and what will happen. So the third part is the largest part of the book, from chapter 4 to chapter 22. Is concerning what will happen in the end time before Lord Jesus Christ come. And we know that Jesus' second coming is the conclusion of the salvation plan. It's the final chapter of the history of mankind. It's the most important things. But before that, what will happen? John used a lot of ink and passages to describe what will happen at the end time. But you have to write down what will happen, no matter what happened outside the world. Socially, you can draw a big circle. Socially, politically, naturally, there'll be a lot of things happening, right? You can draw a circle. But the focus of the description of this passage is the true church. The focus of everything. Remember, when you take a picture, you always find the point of focus. If you take a picture, you choose the wrong focus, then the picture is no good, right? So, who is at the focus? The focus is not, when the war will happen. Because people read the book of Revelation, they always try to look at the details, right? Who is this locust representing? Which country is this referring to? What beast referring to in the future? Who is the Antichrist, right? Those are not the major part yet. We don't know, we cannot guess now. Even your guess may not be correct. But when you read Revelation, you have to remind yourself what is the focal point of the book. Once again, write down, the focal point of Revelation is the true Jesus Church. The true church in the end time. The focal point, this is very important, it appears in your exam, huh? The revelation, the focal point is the true church development. Throughout from Genesis to the rest of the New Testament, talk about true church. But revelation is the focal point, is the development of the true church, what the true church will face. In the midst of this calamity, social, political, natural disasters, moral corruption, but the focal point is the true church. So that's why in the book of Revelation, you see there's a lot of recording, prefiguration about true church. And if you can get those right, you understand Revelation. You don't have to predict what this referred to in the future. That's not the main point. When times come, you'll know. Even you fast to pray for 10 days, God will not tell you now. Right? Who is the beast? 7 head, 10 horns. Even you pray 10 days, you will not know. Right? When times come, you'll know who it represents. So, knowing the true church in Revelation, the focal point is the key. So, what are the revelation regarded the true church in the end time? The first one, it appears, is the golden lampstand. Chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. Next.
The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the Hindu of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches.
Seven lampstands are the seven churches. Why the book of Revelation only recorded seven churches, not eight, not six? Because seven is the perfect number. Even though individually the church are not perfect, but spiritually speaking, the true church as a whole is perfect. We have to write this down. This concept is very important. Individually, we are not perfect. For example, we are all sinners, right? We are still sinning. We are no good. We are lacking of love. We make mistakes. We fight. Division, right? Just like church in Corinth. A lot of division, lots of problem. But overall, this church is still perfect, because it is chosen by God. It is perfect because not we are perfect, but because of two reasons. First, because the truth is perfect. The truth revealed to the true church is perfect. Nobody can change that. And nobody can deny that. Secondly, because the Holy Spirit is perfect. We are not perfect, but if we rely on the Holy Spirit, we can improve. And God's Holy Spirit can help us to attain perfection. It is not impossible. So we have to have the idea that true church is the perfect church. And tell yourself, even though you may see weaknesses in the church, somebody disappointed you so much, but you will not leave the true church. Because the moment you leave the true church, you leave the perfect church, and there's no better place to go. If you leave the true church, you leave salvation. So no matter, even you see human being cause you disappointment, but this church is still the golden lampstand, and you are never going to leave it. Even though you die in the true church. When I was in Kenya, I met an old worker. He's in his 70s now. He used to be from another denomination. But after he found the true church, he really devoted his life to serve God in the true church. And he always tell people, I'm 70-some years old now. I can die anytime. But he said, I want to die in the true church. He didn't say, I want to live 100 years. Even though you live 100 years, you still die, right? But if you want to die, you make sure you're still in the true church. And the true church do funeral for you. And your salvation is secure. So that's why these seven churches represent the true church then and also now. The golden lampstand. And don't forget, who is walking among the golden lampstand here? Who is walking among the golden lampstand? Here it said the Holy Spirit. The seven stars are the seven angels of the church. And of course, if you read chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Yes. Who is in the midst of the golden lampstand? Who? The Son of Man. Which book talks about the Son of Man? Luke. Hey, not bad, huh? You guys are pretty prepared for the exam. So don't have to ask that one, they know already. But it's okay, we can still ask. So what the theme of the book should always be in our mind, right? So Jesus is in the true church. Even though sometimes we are weak, Jesus is still here. He will help us. So don't leave the true church, no matter what happens. Secondly, What is the perfect reason of the true church? The heavenly throne. The heavenly throne in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Next.
After these things are lit, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was a trumpet speaking to me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things that will take place after this." Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on it.
In vision, John saw the heavenly throne. Chapter 4. Verse 1 to 2. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. This vision is very important. It's the focal point of the revelation. Because no matter how chaotic the world is, but there's someone in control. Who is the someone who is in control? Our God Almighty. And He sits in His throne throughout ages. But in the end time, what is His throne? His throne is the true church. Through the church, He reigns spiritually. He exercises His spiritual power and judgment. So the heavenly throne actually refers to the true church. And we are sitting with Him in this spiritual throne. The third prefiguration about true church. Now this question will be in your test, okay? This question about the prefiguration of the true church, the focal point. I will ask you, what is the focal point of the book of Revelation? And what are the prefiguration in the true church? That will be in the question. Okay, the third one, the white horse. The white horse. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Next, please. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. After seeing the vision of the throne, now a sequence of events will unfold. What will happen? If you look at this diagram, it tells you the sequence of things in the book of Revelation. First, there are seven seals. Seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And what is the seventh seal? The seven seals open so that seven trumpets will be sung. And then each trumpet will be sung. And the seven trumpets actually is about the pouring of the seven bowls. So it sounds quite complicated, right? 777. But this is the form of the apocalyptic literature about revealing something, always as a number attached, and the number have figurative meaning, of course, mean perfection. So this really helps you to memorize the three sets of events will unfold the sequence. Of course, a lot of things happen. So if you keep coming to YTCC, I believe in the year 3 or 4, which year they will learn Revelation? Year 4? So, I think Preacher FF will teach you very detailed, or Teacher TK, about very deep book of Revelation. I only know a little bit, so I only talk about the outline. So, but you don't have to memorize everything. I tell you two main points, and then actually, you know everything, if you know these two main points. First, this sequence of events actually marks the event of the end time. And the sequence of the event of the end time begins with the appearing of the true church, which is the white horse. You just have to remember what happened on seal number one. Seal number one opened. Imagine, right? Imagine yourself. This is a seal here. It was not open, but in spirit, God opened. What did he see?
Not seeing my hand.
He saw what? A horse. What horse? White horse. So this white horse have a characteristic, which is somebody ride on the horse with a bow, with a crown, and he victory all or gain victory. So the beginning of the seal of the sequence of event actually referring to the coming of the true church. There's no other interpretation better than this white horse as the true church. Of course, other churches commentary, they don't think so, because they don't even know there's a true church. They think all the churches are the same. But for us, spirit already revealed. Our early workers understand this. The white horse is the true church. Because since the year, which year the true church was registered? 1917. Where is it? In Beijing. Since that year, the true church preached throughout the whole China, Taiwan, Southeast Asia, Europe, America, South America, Australia, with no money, no education. Our early workers are all uneducated. They're only like traders, farmers. They didn't ever attend any theological school. They have no money. There's no foreign power to give them money to do missionary work. But within a few decades, the true church spread over Southeast Asia. And less than 100 years, the true church is in 5 continents, more than 50 countries. Spiritually speaking, we are winning over winning. There's no devil that true church cannot cast out. There's no illness that true church cannot heal. If it's God's will, anything God can heal. There's nowhere that a true church cannot open. If God's way, God's timing, we'll open a church there. With very little money help, very little manpower. So that is the first seal. So when you know the true church appears, we know we are in the final chapter of human history. There will be no more, a few more thousand years. Even though we don't know when Jesus exactly will be coming. But for sure, it won't be too long. Because the final chapter has already been unfolded. So there are 3 sequences of events. The first set is seal, the second is trumpet, the third one is bowl. But actually, they are talking about the same thing. They are all talking about the same sets of events which will happen surrounding the focal point of the true church. First, tribulation will come. I'm just summarizing all these things. You don't have to remember all these individual events, right? But just summarizing. First is tribulation will come. The closer we get to the Lord Jesus' second coming, the more intense tribulation. From government, from the beast. We don't know who is the beast, but tribulation will come. Persecution, shedding of blood, even we will die for the Lord. In our true church, it happened before. In China, after the Cultural Revolution, many churches were persecuted. We had a big building in Shanghai, printing house in Shanghai was confiscated. Church leaders were put in the jail, many of them died there. They confiscate members' Bible. If you will discover you have a Bible, you get persecuted. In Taiwan, during the mountain, in the mountain area, during the Japanese occupation, our true church members were persecuted. In some of the country, our true church members were persecuted. But there will be times that systematic persecution to all true believers. That will be very terrible, very terrifying. But that will happen. We have to get prepared. Secondly, what will happen? False teaching will happen. There will be false teacher or the beast will deceive people. So that many members may fall. The third thing will happen is natural disasters. Natural disaster. From heaven, the moon become blood like a red, or hailstone, or famine. All these things will surround. The four things will happen is the final war. The final warfare against the chosen people, the city of God. That chosen people physically can refer to Israel, because Israel has too many enemies. All the Arab nations, actually, they hate them to the point, to the bones. All the Arab nations, they'll be led by Iran. Iran is very, very frank. Iran means to eliminate Israel. They have nuclear weapon now. They have the backing of Russia. When times come, according to the Bible, enemy come from the north, we attack people of Israel. Spiritually speaking, we are the Israelites, and we also will face warfare, spiritual warfare. So if you look at the book of Revelation, these four things will evolve and happening, taking turns, making the end time so tough for everybody. But at the climax, at the point of all these things, the conclusion is that Babylon will be destroyed. And the high point on everybody's suffering, the Bible said, the enemies of God will be destroyed. Members of God will be vindicated. Judgment will come, end all things, and then God's kingdom of God will come. So this really gives a sense of hope to the members at the time and us. Because suffering is intense, but it's not going to last forever. It's going to be short, and God will give us strength to go through it. So it concludes by saying the new heaven and new earth. This is also another prefiguration of the true church. Chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. Next. Okay, so chapter 22, verse 1 talk about new heaven and new earth. This new heaven and new earth, after the conclusion of the judgment from God, will appear. This is the realization of the true church in the spiritual kingdom. The true church will be uplifted to meet the law. And then we will become a new heaven and new earth in God's eternal kingdom. Chapter 21, verse 1. So new heaven and new earth refer to the true church. Also the bride is like a bride. The bride is also the true church. And then verse 3. Next. Chapter 21 verse 3. The tabernacle is also referring to the true church. Because in the true church, God will take the true church in the eternal glory, and then there'll be no more sadness, no more tears, and no more death. Everything will finish. But the true church will be received by the law. No more death and no more tears. How wonderful it is. So can you imagine if the member of the first century read those messages, even though they face the cross, they face the death sentence, they will have strength to overcome. And now we are in the calm before the storm. There's something, right? Calm before the storm, right? Before the storm comes, sometimes you feel very calm. Yesterday we were told that in the afternoon there will be a storm. I don't know now. Outside is pretty calm. Right? So you say, oh, why we cancel the activity, right? But you never know. Maybe after lunch it will be pouring or thundering. So calm before the storm doesn't mean it's going to be calm. So spiritually speaking, now is the calm before the storm, okay? Now it's very calm, but next hour you'll face the test. So also you'll face the storm. So concluding of the New Testament, chapter 22, verse 20. Chapter 22, verse 20. Next. The conclusion of the whole Bible, after learning all this salvation plan, even though we know that time is going to be tough, we are somewhere here. The first seal is open. We are somewhere here. Keep opening the seals. And then this one has not yet happened. This will happen. But we know, we still hope that God will come quick, because I really wish you come. This world is not my home. This world is too chaotic. Just then last night, all the sisters, were you able to sleep at all? Like crazy, the people. They are party animal, right? Now I know why it's called party animal. In the past, I only heard about that term. In French, do you have the word party animal to describe the wild young people? You know? In America, I don't know, in UK, do you use this term to describe the party animal? I never know what is party animal because I never live in a dorm. Right, but now last night I know what is party animal. I look at 11:30, I was going to sleep, but they're still bam 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 bam. Okay, I said I'll lie down and wait until 12 o'clock, because the previous night it stopped at 12. But no, they didn't stop. And then I was not even able to sleep deeply. And then I was woken up 3 o'clock. I think, what? Still drumming? Still dancing and shouting? 3 o'clock. Okay. And then I fall back to not very deep sleep. And then 5 o'clock, I said, what? 5 o'clock still partying? Is that crazy? And then, finally, 7 o'clock. I've given up hope anyway. I said, 7 o'clock, they're still dancing and partying. And I went out to the toilet, and I saw downstairs two young men, drunk, peeing on the road. And then the taxi come to pick them up. I think now they're going to sleep now. Poor us, we are waking up here now. We still have to work. But this is nowadays your generation people. If they don't believe in Christ, pretty much most of them live a life like this. Alright? Wild, lost, sinful, hopeless. Right? But you are different. So really, in our heart, we pray that Lord Jesus Christ will come soon. If he doesn't come soon, I don't know, the longer it drags, maybe it's hard for us to keep. So, I know you didn't sleep well last night. So, I'll give you extra 10 points on top of whatever you achieve, right? If you barely make it, I'll give you 10 points. Yeah. Yeah. Only brothers? Only sister, right? Brother, we're not here. Only sister, right? Brother, sleep very well, are you?
No, that's story.
I will see how the average go first. If everybody passed, then we don't need to keep extra. Okay, we will see how we do first. But just do your best, okay? So now you have awoken up? Okay, let's pray in silence. Amen. 三個啦，出車就係Golden Lamb Stand啊。